We continue our learning of the Linish Mastavi Ben Marachmi Shemichan Yaakov and Pichas Aliyah wearing Kalim, Perik Yud, Zayin, Mishnah, Dalet. Harimonim Sha'amu. When we speak about Rimonim, pomegranates, that if a Kli could no longer hold pomegranates, the hole is large enough on the bottom that pomegranates fall through, so it's the Kli is no longer Mekabel Tuma. That's only Shlosha Achuzin Zebazeh. That's where there are three attached to one another. So this actually represents a Chumrah. How so? So imagine you have a Kli that has a hole on the bottom and a pomegranate is able to fall through. One pomegranate falls through. So the Mishnah says, that's not a raya, that's not a proof that the Kli is no longer Mekabel Tumah. That Kli, in fact, will still be Mekabel Tumah. How do you know the Kli will lose its status of a Kli, it's no longer Mekabel Tumah? That's when a pomegranate would fall through, when that pomegranate is attached to two other pomegranates. You see, when you have three pomegranates all attached to the other on the one branch, so the other two are going to hold back the third from falling through the hole. So the Mishnah is saying is that it's possible the Kli, if one pomegranate were alone, it would fall through. That doesn't tell you that the Kli loses its status of a Kli. Only when the pomegranate would fall through when it is attached to two other pomegranates that normally would hold it back. Nonetheless, the hole is large enough that this one pomegranate is going to pull itself down and pull the other two along with it. That's when we say it's no longer Mekabel Tumah. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer Banafa Uvakvara Kideshi Tolvi Yahalech Uvakupa Kideshi Yashula Achorov. So this actually represents a leniency, a kula. How so? What he's saying is like this. We're talking about, let's say, a nafa kvara. We mentioned those many times. A sifter, a sieve. The kvara has larger holes, the nafa smaller holes. So the Mishnah says, according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, Kideshi Yitolvi Yahalech. Only when if we're speaking about a case where literally where you are holding it and you are walking with it. So what is Rav Shimon Gamliel coming to tell us? A sieve also, let's say, would lose its status as a kli when there's a hole that where a pomegranate can fall through. And we're going to assume, like most of the Farshim, that Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees that it's it has to be three pomegranates, where the third one will pull the other two, will pull it through. But there's a leniency as well, and that is, that's even Kadesh Yitov Yahalech, when you are a pomegranate would fall when you're taking it and going and extending it. What does it mean to take it and extend it? So this is where you're shaking it back and forth. So there's, and that obviously creates a force. So I have a hole, let's say, and a pomegranate, let's say, attached to two other pomegranates, we would say would not fall through from in that hole. The hole's really not big enough. It's not going to slide through. Okay, that's not going to be Mekabel. That's still Mekabel Tumah. But Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, but if you would shake it back and forth, that force would actually bring that one pomegranate and then the other two along with it through the hole. So, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, that is sufficient for it to lose its status of Tumah. So that's a leniency to this Kula. It's no longer going to be a Kli, that's a Mekabel Tumah. When the pomegranate would come out, attached to the other two, of course, that he may, we'll assume he agrees with that, but even if it's pushed out by force, where if you wouldn't shake it back and forth, it would stay inside. So the Tanakhama would say, well, that's still a Kli, because it's not falling through. The fact that if you shake it back and forth, it's going to fall through, that doesn't matter. That's not what the way. That's not how we measure whether a Kli loses the status of Tumah. Shem Gamliel says, no, when it comes to Nafa and Kvara, if you're shaking it back and forth, that is, and that force will bring the pomegranate through, That is no longer a Kli. Uva Kupa, and let's say you have a basket. So a hole where a pomegranate falls through, Kadesha Yafshila Achorav, where you sling it over your back, so that also that also creates a certain force where a pomegranate would fall through in this circumstances, even though if it was just sitting stationary, the hole would not be large enough for the pomegranate to just fall right through. So that's also a Kula that Rav Shimon Gamliel tells you regarding a basket. Ushar kala kalim, and then the Mishnah says, regarding what about other kalim, meaning a kalim that don't normally hold pomegranates. Sheni yicholim lekabel rimon, they're very small. So they don't, you wouldn't start, so obviously if they don't hold a pomegranate, that cannot be the measure that where the Kli loses its status of Tumah. Kigon harova, and then give you examples of measuring kalim. A Kli that holds a rova, well, rova avakav, Kava six kav equal a sa. Or vachatzi a rova. Kali that holds a half a rova. Hakinonim haktanim. Or you have small kanon, a flask, funnel, something that sifts as well. Shiuron biruban, divir Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says here the shear is when most of it is broken. So if it's if half the kli is still intact, so then it's still mekabel tumah. It only loses its tumah when a rove of the kli is broken. That's how we decide when it comes to smaller kalim. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, he disagrees. No, it's not true. It will lose its status of tumah at an earlier stage, which means this represents a leniency. Bizasim. These smaller kalim, the hole is the size of an olive, so then and the olives can fall through, they are no longer mekabel tumah. But then the Mishnah says, nifritsu, if they have a breach through them, which represents a break, which is on the side of the kli. Our discussion has been where there's a hole at the bottom of the kli. So that's have all these different opinions. But if there's a break on the side of the kli, shiron bizesim, then everyone agrees that the shear, the measure by which we will define this as a broken kli, it's no longer mekabel tumah, is when olives will come through that side. What about nigmimu? So imagine you have a kli and the rim of the kli, the sides of the kli, the walls of the kli are slowly wearing down to the point where the kli is very, very shallow. It can hold very little. So the Mishnah here says nigmimu. When do they lose their status of a kli of susceptibility to tuma? Shiron b'mashahein, any amount. So the bartender says im nishar b'hen kedei l'kabel kolshu. So the rim is very, very low. It's a very shallow kli, but something can still be held inside. It still has a clay kibble. So then a kolshu, any little bit it can hold. So then it's still mekabel tumah. If you can't hold anything, it's just the bottom. You know, there's basically no rim anymore around. So then it's no longer mekabel tumah. Perek Zayin Mishnah HaRimon She'amus. And now we discuss the size of the rimon. Lo katan v'lo gadol alabainini. It's a middle sized rimon. So you have a kli, let's say, and there's a hole where a small pomegranate can fall through. So the Mishnah is telling you that is still mekabel tumah. You have but we don't wait till it has a hole that it's able, that the largest pomegranate, like the Meraglim brought back, is going to fall through. No, it's a benini, a middle size. So now the Mishnah is going to ask the following question. Throughout Shas, you have a special type of pomegranate known as Rimone Badan. Badan is an area in Eretz Israel where the Kusim, actually the Samaritans, lives. And the Mishnah is asking, Ulamo huzkuru Rimone Badan. If we know, as in Kalim, Rimonim play obviously an important role regarding the status of a kli, if it has a hole that pomegranates fall through. So what the Mishnah is telling us, Rimone Badan, a very large Rimonim. We just said that the laws of a kli, that it's no longer mekabel tumah regarding pomegranates falling through a hole in the bottom of the kli, that's only rimonim that are benonim. So the Mishnah wants to know, well, I guess rimonei badan have no application, have no relevance to our halacha about tumah vatara. So the Mishnah wants to know, okay, so in what area of halacha do we single out rimonei badan? Because they happen to have significance in some areas of halacha. So Rabbi Meir says like this, Sheyehu mekadshin kol shehen divrei Rabbi Meir. Now the language of mekadshin, sanctify, really is borrowed from the laws of Kilei HaKerem. Kilei HaKerem and Orla as well, actually, are Asra Bahana, Kilei HaKerem, intermingling certain produce with a vineyard, which we know is not permitted, and it's Asr Bahana. Arla, of course, Asr Bahana as well, the first 3 years of a tree. So it says the Baraturnal, this is what the Mishnah means. Shim echon mi rumani badan shal arla o shal kile akerem nis arevim elef rimonim shal heter. Let's say you have one of these rimone badan, these very large, fancy pomegranates, and it's an arla rimon, or it's a kile akerem rimon. And that got mixed, which are Asabana, and it got mixed up with 1,000 other Rimonim of Heter. So normally we would say something is Batal Barov, or Orla and Kilei HaKerem, a Batal 1 in 200. Here, no, it's not even Batal 1 in 1,000. This Kadshu Kula Menesu, they all become Kadosh. Kadosh is a language the Torah uses, which is Pentik Dash HaMaleah, but it's a language of, happens to be this supposed to be burnt as well, but it's a language of sanctification that they're Asra Bahana. And we're saying that they're not Batei Blurim. The law of nullification does not apply to Rimonei Ba'adan, because they are so chashuv. Things that are chashuv, we say balei chayim are chashuv, so alive animals are not batel. Certain things that have chashivas are not going to be nullified in a majority, or if it's arlanan in 200. Ma she'en kein rimonim shel shor mikamos. Rimonim of other places, not rimonim badan, will be batel. And if it's arla or kilei akerim, it'll be batel 1 in 200. So that's where, says Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, that's where rimonim badan have halachic significance, but not in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Lisha'er Bahen Es HaKelim. So the Mishnah is saying that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri argues on everything that we just said. The Mishnah began by telling us that the Rimon, a hole that's where pomegranate can fall through, is what size pomegranate? A Beninit, middle size. Nothing to do with Rimonei Badan. Nothing to do with those special, very large Rimonim. So says Rabbi Yochanan, where does that halach apply? That has to do with Bittul. Says Rabbi Meir, Yochanan says, no, Lishar Bahanes HaKelim. In fact, the halacha that we're discussing about Tumah V'Tahara, where the hole is large, where do we say the hole? When the hole is large enough that pomegranate falls through, the kli is no longer mekabel tumah. The types of pomegranates that have to be able to fall through are Rimonei Badan, are these very chashuv, large Rimonim. If they cannot fall through, so then the kli is still mekabel. This kli is still mekabel tumah. Still has the status of a kli. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri also argues Rabbi Meir regarding the halacha of bittul, which means that he would hold that it's not just pomegranates, rimonei badan, that are not batel, batel barov, batel in 60, batel in 100 if it's truma, batel in 200 if it's kilei akarim or arla. He would say that all pomegranates are not able to be nullified. All have are all considered chashuv. Rabbi Akiva Omer lekachu lekachus kuru leshayer bahenes hakelim v'yu mekachin kol shehein. So Rabbi Akiva says, actually, Rimonei Badan, he argues with both, or he takes a little bit of Rabbi Meir, a little bit of Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. He says, on the one hand, Rimonei Badan, in fact, that's the shear that the, however, if Rimonei Badan, Badan are able to fall through, so then the Kli is no longer Mekabel Tumah. We decide that measure is assessed based on the Rimonei Badan. And not only that, the Mekachin Kol Shehein, in fact, the halacha of bittul will apply not to all pomegranates, but to, like Rabbi Yochanan Uri said, but like Rabbi Meir said, it applies specifically to Rimonei Badan because they have chashivas. Amar Rabbi Yossi, I'll tell you where the laws of Rimonei Badan apply. Rabbi Yossi, lo huzguru Rimonei Badan v'chatzire geva. He adds on something else that has chashivas, which are the leeks of a place called Geva. Also, Geva and Badan were both areas where the Kusim lived. Elashu ma'asmis asrin vadai b'chol makom, where you have to take maser from them everywhere. So Bartimur explains what's happening here. He says, avole inyan kiddush ein chiluk beinim rimenei badan l'roshar rimonim dekula mekadshim. So what Rabbi Yehuda say, we have the gifts of Rabbi Yossi, the Baratunur has the gifts that this is Rabbi Yehuda talking. Okay, what it's pointing out is this, says the Baratunur, dekula mekadshim, he agrees on in part with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that doesn't matter, all pomegranates are considered chashuv and they are not going to be nullified. Can't be butel at all. The Sava Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi holds kol shedarko limnos mekadesh. Anything that is something that you normally count or potentially would count, mekadesh is not nullified. So this is an idea that's borrowed from the Mishnayos, and those who learned the beginning of Maseches Beitzah may remember this idea from the Gemara, where we speak about the difference between something called, where we say kol shedarko limnos, or eshadarko limnos. So eshadarko limnos means where you have something which is always, which is something that is always counted. It's always sold by count. So you never sell it by estimate. So take eggs, for example. So eggs, probably you always sell eggs by the dozen. We sell them by the number. We don't sell them by an estimate number. That's what's called Eschadar Kolumno, something that is always exclusively sold by number. And then you have Kol Shadar Kolumno, things that are sometimes are going to be sold by number, but other times they're sold by assessment, by an estimate. So what we're pointing out is that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi here holds that Rimonei Badan, and although those may be Eshadar Kolimnos, they're exclusively sold by number because they're Chashuv, but other pomegranates which are Kol Shadar Kolimnos, are sometimes sold by number, other times it's sold by estimate, and even Kol Shadar Kolimnos, even things that are sometimes sold by number, and not always, still have chashivas, and therefore not going to be nullified. So therefore, all pomegranates are not going to be nullified in a majority, in 200 if it's Olo Kilei Akerem, and in that way, Rimonei Badan are no different than any other pomegranates. So question is, what is unique about them, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda over here? So what he says, the fact, and he throws in these chatzire geva, the leeks of geva as well, that we take maser from them, b'chol makom, vadai. What does that mean? So normally when we buy produce from an Am Haaretz, we have to be concerned that maybe he didn't take maser. So we take maser misafek. We buy it from the produce. That's called demai. We have the whole back masecha, the whole masecha called maseches demai. You buy produce from a person who's not careful to separate trumos and masros, you have to be concerned. Truma, you know that he did. But mai, because that's misa b'dei shamayim if you don't separate. But if you eat it. But maser, maybe majority took, but it's possible that they did not take. So you have to take maser 1/10 just out of a suffix. That's true if you buy from an Am Haaretz, where there's the possibility that he may or may not have taken maser. But when you buy these Rumanei Badan, these pomegranates from Badan, and these leeks of Geva, so where are they coming from? They're coming from Shnei Mekomos Shel Kusimim, says the Bar Tanura. You could recognize these pomegranates and these leeks as opposed to other places. So stop for 1 second. The kusim, we know from the different mishnayos in Shas that they were careful with certain many halachas, especially halachas that were written explicitly in the Torah. Didn't they take trumos and masos? They did, but they only took trumos and masos from what they took. You have these sukkahs at the beginning of Maseches Chulin in the Gemara, but what that would say, sell to everybody else. They don't separate. Why not? Delo chayshi alifnei iver lo sitein michshol, because they take lifnei iver lo sitein michshol literally. Can't put a stumbling block in front of someone who's blind. They do not learn the way we learn that that's a problem of causing someone else to do an avera. So they're careful to separate trumos and masros from their own. But something they're going to sell, so we know that they didn't take trumos and masros. That's where we mention in Rimonei Badan. That's where they have halachic significance. They're pomegranates from a place called Badan. Badan is a place where the kusim lived, and you can there be rest assured that, or maybe not rest assured, cannot rest assured, that Maaser was taken. They did not. And therefore, the Mishnah says, Mis Asrin Vadai B'chol Makom. That's what the Bar Tanura says. Afal Gav Dilinaf Shayu Maaser. They may take Maaser for themselves, but not for anybody else, because they don't believe in our Lifnei Iver interpretation. Hilkach, Mis Asrin Vadai B'chol Makom. That's where, it says Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rimonei Badan, have halachic significance.